Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these MP3 files of the radio programs. You'll find a host of other Bible-related material. We have Bible video, 30 minutes in length on various topics, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life. You have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died that you might be set free from the bondage of sin. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We are studying the great book of Hebrews. This morning, we are in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to be discussing verse 7 through 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. Now this is a personal application for the truth that have just been presented. In a house that Moses was a servant, the children of God became disobedient. Did they harden their hearts? Yes. How did they do that? In the day of the trial in the wilderness. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers chapter number 14. And we will read the account of the punishment and why it was given. In Numbers chapter 14, I'll begin reading in verse number 28. Numbers 14, verse number 28. He said to them, as I live, saith the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Joshua the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you will bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. Now, in the day of the trial, this is the trial of the wilderness. They hardened their heart in the day of provocation. This they did in Exodus 17, verse 1 through 7. The fathers tested me, proved me, putting into a test to see if they would believe him. They saw my works 40 years, all the evidence that they would not accept and they would not obey his will. So he became angry with that generation. He put it in terms we can understand. God was disgusted with them. They had become unfaithful. They had not done what God has asked them to do. And they had shown they had no faith in him. The mind of his people were always wandering away from him, his moral and his emotional nature. Not because they couldn't know. They would not know. Hosea 4 verse 6 would later say that they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ezekiel 2 through 5 would emphasize the same truth. The heart set on doing things their way instead of God's way. They wanted the better days in Egypt. how soon they forgot the lessons of the past. Moses' law was not the perfect law, nor was it the final plan that God had in mind for all of mankind. Yet it was prepared to see if man would trust God, believe him, and most of all, if they would obey him. Given all the things God gave them, promised them, and the evidence to show his awesome power, that shouldn't be enough, right? Yet all this physical evidence and harsh punishment given immediately that they still disobey. How much greater will we suffer if we disobey the one greater than Moses and his law much better than the law based upon better promises? Look at the record. We will not escape. Now, let's go back for just a moment and understand what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. God had promised that when they became a great nation, that he would give that nation a homeland. That's in Genesis 12 and verse 7. Now, after they leave Egypt, after the 10th plague, and after the death of the firstborn, they are traveling towards Canaan, the promised land. And it took about 3 months. Then during that time, they had to pass through the Red Sea in Numbers chapter 14. And in Numbers 14, they had to go through the Red Sea. And when they came to the Red Sea, God gave them victory, and they were able to go through the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, and they were given their freedom. And on the other side of the Red Sea, they became the nation that God had promised them. Well, God promised that nation a home, a land that would be their own. And so they began to journey there. Now, once they got on the borders of Canaan, Moses chose 12 spies, one from each tribe, to go in and to survey and spy out the land. And this they did in Numbers chapter 13. And so they went in and they spied out the land. They returned after 40 days. And the report, there were two reports, one good and one evil. 10 of the spies said, yes, all the things that God said were in the land were there, and they brought some of the bounty of the land back, but they added there were great walled cities, there were great walled armies, there were giants in the land, and they're very strong and they're very formidable, and if we go in there, we'll get squashed like grasshoppers. And so they were fearful by what they saw. But Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing. And they said their hearts melt. They're discouraged because of God. They're ready for us to take. Let's go in and take them. And Caleb encouraged them and Joshua not to rebel against God, but to take the land. And so all that night, they cried and they were going to pick leaders and they wanted to go back to Egypt, which it was much better. They said that God brought them out of the wilderness to kill them and to kill their children. And so they were going to go back to Egypt. Well, God heard that cry. He heard that complaint. He heard their murmuring. And the next day, God gave an answer. And that's what we read in Numbers chapter 14. God determined that that nation would not receive the promised land. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God, so God is going to not give them the land. And so he determined that he was going to cause them to wander for 40 years, one day for every day that the spies spied out the land. And over that 40-year period, every person over 20 years old that was numbered among the children of Israel, they were dying in the wilderness and never stepped foot in the promised land, except two men, Joshua and Caleb, who had been faithful, who had looked through the eyes of faith and not through the eyes of fear. They would go into the promised land. Now, during that time, their clothes will not wear out, their shoes will not wear out, but they will not enter the promised land until every person that was in that first generation died. But then who is going to get the land? The land is going to be given to those who said that their children would be victims. They didn't want it. And so God's going to give it to their children. And so their children are going to inherit the land that they despise. Notice in verse 10 of our reading, "Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said they would go astray always in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now the rest was the fact that they would have a homeland, that they would have their own home, they would have a place that they could call home, and they would have rest, and they would secure their living quarters and their living, and God would be with them, and they would be the nation, and God would be their God, and it would be just as God had promised. But they threw it away. They threw it away because they did not have faith in God. They did not trust God. Because of what they saw, they thought that they were more formidable. The enemy would conquer them, but they forgot that God was with them. They forgot that God would lead them. They forgot that God had promised them that he would give them the land. All they had to do to take it is to trust him, believe in him, follow the instruction, and the land would be there. But they spurned it. They rejected it. And so he made the determination, "I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest." And they didn't get that rest. They died in the wilderness. 603,550 fell in the wilderness during the next 40 years. They brought that upon themselves. They had the opportunity. God gave them the fulfillment of the promise. The land, they were right there at the border. All they had to do is walk in. All they had to do is trust God. He would lead them to victory. No man could stand up against God and his people when God was leading them. But they had to trust him. They had to believe in him. And so they put him to the test. And they failed their test. They failed because they did not trust nor believe God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a couple of things I want you to be aware of in closing this one. Number one, when men disobey God, when men rebel against the instructions of God, and to do not do the things that God says, that is unbelief. That is disobedience. That is sin. And God will not tolerate it. When we fail to follow God's instructions, when we will not do what God has asked us to do, then we don't believe him. We don't have faith in him, and we don't show reverence and respect to him. And he's not going to bless us if we reject his teaching, and we reject his instruction, and we go our way instead of his way. Now, why are these examples in the Bible? It is to teach us the need for us to be faithful, to trust God, to have confidence in God, to follow his instruction, to do what God says, and know that God will keep his promises, that what he promises to do, he is well able to do it. But we have to first be obedient by our obedient faith to trust God. The Israelites failed their test in the wilderness, and they paid with their life. What about you, dear listener? Are you passing your test of faith? Do you trust God? Are you following his instructions? Are you doing his will? Think about it very soberly. It has eternal